Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings from the Darkness is an eclectic collection of writings by a talented and diverse group of writers and published authors in dedication of and in support of our dearest friend, the award-winning and best-selling author Yvonne Mason and her son. All sales of this anthology, present and future, are donated to her in support of her son, who at the time of this publication has been ill and out of work and struggling to support his family due to an undiagnosed illness. Yvonne has been an inspiration, selflessly supportive, and a dear friend to many aspiring writers and indie authors. She believes in paying it forward, offering her knowledge and insights and friendship to kindred souls. Yvonne has a saying, she threatens to let loose the flying monkeys when there is wrongness in the lives of those near and dear to her. So after bringing us together for a successful and fun-filled double anthology by Yvonne, including notable authors and first-time published writers, and after learning about the continued troubles of her son and his family, we came together as such monkeys to fly free, far, and wide in what we do best, G.L. Lentz. This book can be purchased at Amazon.com, Amazon Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and www.blackbedsheetbooks.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday night, and if it's Friday night, you better be here on Off the Chain with me, your host, Yvonne Mason. And yes, that was a piece of shameless promotion. Yes, my son is still ill, and yes, all of the proceeds from Blessings from the Darkness do go to him. I do not get any of those royalties. And I have to give a shout-out to all of my fellow authors and friends who surprised me with that book. That was one of the kindest things anyone has ever done to me. You will find many, many, many different authors in their diversity of works in that book, from scary to frightening to, I don't know, horrible. But not the writing is horrible, but the stories will just, you won't be able to put the book down. And my friend, Nicholas Grabowski with Black Bed Sheets, published that book. My friend and my publisher, Kelly Koch with Dressing Your Book, helped edit that book. And if I'm not mistaken, my friend and fellow author, who is my guest tonight, also has a story in that book. So it was a family affair, and I love each and every one of them for it. As of this morning, ladies and gentlemen, now, every time we do this show, I say, if you want to come on the show, just contact me at offthechainradio@yahoo.com. And the reason is because we are heard in over 50 countries all over the world. There's so many of them now, it's almost too many to mention. But as of this morning, we were at 5,244 listeners just on this show, just on Blog Talk Radio. That does not include all of the other podcasts that this show shows up on, which is iTunes and YouTube and FM.com and TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, MixCloud, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podcast.com, Podomatic, and Podcast Garden. This show's heard everywhere. And the total amount this morning of all of the listeners on all of the podcast and the show itself, we're at 12,345 listeners. My goal was 15,000 by the end of the year. Well, we're going to hit that in the next couple of months. So we're going to bump it up to 20,000 by the end of the year. I see no reason why we can't. When I say that this is a platform for you to be heard and to use as a tool to become successful, I'm not lying. People that have been on this show let me know all the time, Yvonne, because of you I'm doing this. Because of you. In fact, the band Cypher is coming back. I had them scheduled for Wednesday night, but now they're coming on Tuesday night because they got a gig on Wednesday night, and it's all because they came on this show and they're now being heard all over the world. And I have to give a shout-out to Australia because they are our biggest listeners here on Blog Talk Radio. 72% of our listeners are out of Australia. So thank you, guys. I appreciate your continued support. Tonight, a friend of mine who I've known for, seems like forever, a fellow author, He's a martial arts expert. He is an artist. God, I don't think there's anything this man can do. Tom Fertrell, and for those of y'all in the horror world, you know him as T.G. Reaper. He has come back tonight to tell me what he's been up to. Oh, not only is an award-winning best-selling author, he's also a screenwriter. He also has a clothing design. He's also a clothing designer for the same company I do, Vita.com, and he has his art hanging in galleries. Tom has studied the martial arts for nearly 40 years and has been inducted into the Martial Arts Masters Hall of Fame. And he lives out in the country with his two daughters, his wife, and he says way too many cats. But, yeah, I find that hard to believe. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Gee, I'd forgotten you had art hanging in galleries and you were a screenwriter. Geez, is there nothing that you can't do?
I cannot sing to save my life.
Well, that makes two of us, but we won't hold that against you.
Appreciate that.
I don't like to sing anyway, except when I'm by myself and in my car and nobody can hear me but me, and then it doesn't matter.
That's me. I'll sing to the dashboard.
There you go. So, for the folks that have not heard you and I on this show,
mm-hmm.
and shame on them if they haven't, because obviously they're missing out. Tell the folks about you. I mean, you're a screenwriter, you're an author, you're a comic strip expert, you design clothing, put designs on Vita's products like I do. I'll get it out in a minute. You're a martial mm-hmm. arts expert. How did you do all this?
I don't sleep much.
I understand.
Yeah, it's just like when I was young, when I originally got started like in martial arts when I was young, I set a goal, the three goals. I said by the time, like I was 10, and I said, okay, by the time I'm 18, I want to be a black belt, an instructor, and a champion of some type. I turned 17, I did all three. So I was like, oh, if I could do that, I could do anything. So I just started setting goals for everything in life, and I just keep fighting towards it, you know, art, writing, continuing to learn new and more martial arts. It's just something I do. I just keep moving forward.
Do you find that if you stop moving forward that you get bored?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Do you also find that everything that you do, I don't think enhances is the other word, but it stretches you in the other things that you do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the really cool thing about it, too, is like everything I do, regardless of what it is, it's helping other people. You know, my writing entertains my artwork. Entertains them. It's really cool, and I find out, hey, that they're hanging my stuff here and there. That's just amazing to me. And the martial arts. I mean, I've taught like back a few years back. I started a program for the homeless here in town, and I was teaching them because people were being messed with, unfortunately. So I started a program for them. I've taught poor. I've taught people who couldn't afford actual lessons. But it was my way of giving to the community. It was my way of giving back. And, again, that's one of my many, many goals is to help others.
Let's back up to where you started a program for the homeless. When you trained those men and women, and I'm sure some of them were even children, did you see...
Yeah, there was a couple.
Did you see a difference in their mental attitude about themselves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw, you could see the self-confidence growing. You could see they were no longer ashamed of themselves. You know, they were doing something. They were working towards something. which is always fantastic to see. You know, I mean, the self-esteem starts to rise. You know, I was like, hey, I can do something. I am able to do something. And it's just a good thing to see. I mean, it's see that develop in someone and know that you had a part in helping them with that. You know, I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
Would it be safe to say that after some of those learned martial arts and became more self-confident, that could have possibly and probably led them to get out of that state of homelessness?
Oh, yeah, I know at least three people that I know for sure, at least three of them I know moved on. They were able to, like, you know, get jobs, find work, and, you know, and move on with their lives, get their own places and everything.
So martial arts are not, because I took martial arts, and I never felt so empowered in all my life. But they don't just strengthen the body. They strengthen the mind, the spirit, the intellect, the intelligence. They strengthen the entire person. Would that be a proper statement?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, it I mean, it builds your confidence level. It shows you, like, if you can get over those kind of challenges, you can get over anything. And it gives you the confidence to move forward like that. But yeah, plus, I mean, it's good health benefits, of course, and, you know, and it's good to be able to protect yourself. But, you know, you can look at a technique or something and be like, man, there's no way in a million years I could do that. And you just start working at it, and 3 months later, there you are, you're doing it perfectly.
And you don't have to think about it because it's second nature then. If you have to use it, you don't have to think through it because your mind and your body is so in tune with itself, you just do it.
Exactly. It's all muscle memory. You know, it just happens on its own.
You have been busy. You have been one busy man. When do you...
Yeah, that's true.
And I know you work on top of it. You work an outside job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I work full-time at a retirement community.
And like you say, you don't sleep. Neither do I. But sleep's overrated. I have decided that sleep is overrated.
It is, very much so.
Yeah. I mean, if you get an hour a day, you're doing good. Some days I get 30 minutes. But not only are you writing your own books, but you started ghostwriting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
And you and I were talking about this a little bit before the show. And, ladies and gentlemen, Tom and I have been at this for a long, long time. I started in the 70s. Didn't get published until 2007, so that's how long I worked at it. So when a new writer comes to me and says, "Well, I wanna get an agent, I wanna get published by the Big Six, I wanna do this, I wanna do that, I'm gonna be big and famous," I just smile and say, "Well, bless your heart," because I'm from the South, and that can be an insult or a compliment depending on the context of the conversation. And Tom, you and I both say it, dream big or go home, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, always got to shoot big, always.
But we don't depend on someone else for our dreams, right?
Right on. It's on us.
So when you get a young author who is going past the moon out into, I call the netherworld,
yeah.
And you're trying to steer them into this is how you, if you were really want this is how you go about it, and they fight you at every bend in the road because they don't get that you're saying, I've been out here a long time. We walked this block many, many times. What do you do?
Well, you say bless your heart. Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do. I mean, it's like the whole leading the horse to water thing. You know, you just you show them, you tell them, you're like, you know, I've done this, I know this, trust me, let me do this, let me help you with this. And then you hope that they'll actually listen to you. Some do, some not so much.
Well, what is so sad is they have this fire in their belly, and then they get discouraged when they hit the, and I mean, they don't, and you know, Tom, they just don't hit this brick wall. They slam right to it. They become like glue on it.
Yeah.
And then they let it define them.
Yep. They get discouraged. They give up on the dream, and before they have a chance to actually even really start living that dream, they walk away from it because it's too hard. You know?
Well, if it was easy, anybody could do it.
That's true. That's very true.
Think about it. Think about how many years you and I have been out there, and we pound the pavement every single day. We get laughed at. We get bad reviews. We get told that our work's not good enough. And thank God for the song. Thanks for all those people that told me no, because we have learned how to, if we can't go over the mountain, we go around it. If we can't go
around it,
we're going to go through it. If
we
can't go through it, we're just going to move the damn mountain and make our own way.
That's right. Yeah, we don't stop. You keep moving forward. Yep.
And that's why we've lasted.
Yep.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wanting to write a book and you're saying, well, I'm going to write this book. It's going to be the next bestseller, and it's going to be a movie, and everybody's going to love it, and I know it's the best because I've written it. Okay, bring it back down to earth just a little bit.
Yes.
Be reasonable.
Baby
the Big
steps.
Six don't care, because the Big Six has been telling us what to read for as long as the Big Six has been in business.
True.
And they don't
Very
like
true.
Us. They don't like us because we have opened up an avenue to readers that they don't have to be told what to read anymore. Am I right, Tom?
That's exactly right.
So be proud that you're an indie author, and if you need help knowing how to market, get hold of Tom or myself or anybody else in our circle, because we can help. This show's part of it. This is how you get out there. And speaking of getting out there, tell the folks about your new endeavor in horror comic strips. I've never heard of such.
Oh, yeah, Darkness Within E-Zine. I write articles for them, based true hauntings and that kind of thing. Very good E-Zine, if you guys ever, shameless promotion, but if you ever get a chance to go to the website and check it out, it's really cool. A lot of great, great writers and stuff. I was discussing with the editor of the magazine about she was mentioning that there's like they're doing horror art, and you know, and they've invited me to like write horror fiction to go along with the articles, which is I'm honored for that. And by the end of our conversation, she's given me the green light to start my own horror comic strip. It could be like anywhere from 3 to 6 panels, cliffhanger, of course, different stories. I could create my own cast of characters. I'll be writing the story plus doing the artwork on it. I'm looking at this. It's going to be a challenge because it's something different for me, but it's something I've always wanted to do. And, I can't wait. I know the deadline is starting to loom a little bit. But again, that's just another goal to reach, and that's what I'm going to be doing with it.
Well, you work best under pressure anyway.
Oh, I do. You're right. Yes. I mean, that seems to be my saying.
I
remember writing
you,
that.
Yeah, tell that story.
Yeah, I remember writing this the script for Action Turkey, and they're like emailing me like while they were filming it. Oh, this scene won't work. You got to write something else. It's like, we're waiting for it. It's like, oh, my God. So I'm like speed typing it and trying to send it to them. But, okay, we don't have the budget for that. It's like, So, but we got through it. That baby got made. So, yeah, that seems to be my thing. You know, the more pressure, the better I seem to put out. Yeah, that came out wrong.
Why do you give yourself ulcers like that?
I'm telling you, I don't know. I'd run for punishment, I guess. I don't know.
Is it when the creative juices come to the top of the churn, or?
I think it is with me, at least. I think so.
I think you're just sadistic, if you want to know the truth. Or a masochist one.
Yeah, that could be some truth to that, too.
I've never seen anybody that waited till 5 minutes before the deadline to send something in.
I nail it, though. It's crazy, but I can nail it. So far, I'm knocking on wood. I
now,
try.
You've got some stories and some new anthologies, too, right?
Oh, man, yeah. Trying to remember which ones are in now since the last time we talked.
There's a bunch of them because you just put up the new covers.
Oh, yeah, that was, I think that was, the Darkness Within anthology. The same easy, they just put up, they just did a book like with some of our stories in it, and the proceeds all go to Alzheimer's. Yeah, that was after our last conversation. But that's the newest one. I can't remember who published it. I know it's through Darkness Within. They had the coolest cover. Man, I love the cover for it. I use my cover picture on Facebook here.
Maybe you'll be getting some of the proceeds from the book to help you with your senior memory loss.
I hear that.
Yeah. And you're not as old as I am. You're too young to be having those senior moments.
that's the problem with having with going after so many goals at once. Is you reach that goal and you kind of tend to forget that you reached it because you're already thinking about the next one.
And
that's been my problem for years.
Speaking of the next goal.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing harder in this world than to ghostwrite for somebody else. I won't do it. Number one, I would kill somebody or make them wish they were dead or say bless your heart till they were sick of hearing it. Because my concept of a scene and their concept of a scene might be polar opposites, and we might not even get past that chapter because they won't come around to my way of thinking.
Oh, that sounds so familiar. Yeah.
So how in the world, Tom, is as A-type personality as you are, how in the world were you able to do? I mean, I'm talking about a challenge, honey. That wasn't a challenge. That was self-inflicted pain or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you know that old show, Mission Impossible? That's what ghostwriting is. Mission Impossible.
No, it wasn't Mission Impossible. It was Mission Improbable. Impossible, yeah. You can do you can do standing on your head.
That's true.
Improbable, you got to stand on your head, your arms, and your nose, and everything else. Now, just for the sake of the audience, we won't call any names, but this is a teachable moment, as I'm fond of saying. Explain to the audience why we're having this chuckle, because like we both said earlier, we've been around this block many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
So explain to the audience the story behind this chuckle.
When I agreed to do the story, I'm working with a really talented screenwriter. He went to Full Sail University. He's learned directing. He's worked on like movies, done the whole thing, done the Hollywood thing. The guy is brilliant.
And therein lies the problem.
Yeah, He's brilliant. He's a great, great screenwriter. I love his scripts. Okay, he's not used to writing books. He doesn't read many books. He really doesn't know. We worked on that. I wrote for him, reviewed, and the person who reviewed it said that it reminded them of a Patricia Cornwell novel. He wasn't sure who she was because he'd never read her.
Oh my Lord!
Yeah,
did
I mean,
you tell
nothing
him to go
against
read her?
Him. Yeah, I mean, he's like I said, he's great with movies. I mean, he can nail any screenplay. But this was like a different arena for him. And you know, we were working on the story and stuff, and like the first five chapters, he wanted to go back and review, go over, fix up whatever, instead of just getting it written. You know, he was looking for a first draft, perfection. And to all you new writers out there, no such thing. Okay, your first draft you write from your heart. Then you use your head to polish it. Okay, you get it out there, you get it written, and then you go back and fix it. It's like you're drawing a map. Okay, you draw the map, and then you go back and you start putting in the exit signs. You don't do it as you're going. You'll never get it done. It will never be finished. And so we had a deadline set, and we were getting very scary close to the deadline, and we only had the five chapters because we kept going back and polishing. And so finally he gave me free rein to just write it. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a braggart, but, you know, I've won the last four or five NaNoWriMos in a row. I'm used to writing under pressure. I'm used to writing fast. I did the novel in a week and a half. I'm halfway through the polishing mark now. But he didn't know. And this is why this is such a good teachable moment that a lot of new writers don't know. I mean, there's nothing against him. The dude's brilliant. Like I say, he's brilliant. Nothing against him at all. He's awesome. I love working with him. Bless his heart. you know, you get your first draft out. You don't worry about the mistakes. You don't worry about any of that until after you have something to work with. Get the whole story out there. And then go back and polish it before you send it any place. Make sure you polish it before you send it any place. But
and also
don't try to make
it,
every.
You should also let it sit for 24 hours before you go back and start polishing it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I waited 2 days. So yeah, you're very correct there too. Yes, you do that way. You can look at it with fresh eyes. If you're looking at it right after you get done writing it, you're not going to see what you need to be seeing. You got to give it a chance to settle.
I have done that, and I have seen what I thought I wrote, and then when I went back 3 days later, funny thing, it wasn't what it was supposed to be, but I could have sworn it was what it was supposed to be when I wrote it the first time.
Yep, that's true. And then that's what usually happens, too.
And what screenwriters and journalists, technical writers, procedure and policy writers don't understand is when they come out of that genre of writing and step into the literary world, it's like daylight and dark. They have to forget everything that they know in their craft.
Right. Yeah, this is a very, very different form of writing.
Yes, and I have seen some journalists, newspaper journalists, who thought because they were newspaper journalists they could write a readable book. Sadly, not so much, because it came out like a piece in the newspaper or a piece in a magazine. There was no meat to it. It had a beautiful story, but there was no depth in the story. It was all one-dimensional.
Right, yeah.
It's almost like because they have so many words that they can use in a piece, they can only use one column or two columns or 500 words, and they have to cram it all into that little space, they forget how to let their three-dimensional mind take over, and it's okay to use one chapter to set a scene because you got another chapter to go to the next place.
Yeah, but like in a little screenwriting, you got to set that scene like the first page or two.
Right.
Because you know, every page is 1 minute on screen.
And probably what this young man was doing is he was trying to set the scene in that first chapter. And you don't want to set the scene. You want to build up to the scene.
Exactly right. Yep.
And that's what they forget because they're so interested. They're so used to being in that box.
Right.
And, of course, you and I don't have a box. We don't even know what a box is except to take out the trash.
Yes, that. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
If we can think of it.
I would like to say, though, in regards to this book that we're talking about, not sure where it's coming out at. Yeah, I'm not sure, like, the exact date or anything. So I'm still working with him on the marketing side of it and on the publishing side of it. So I'm hoping that by the time we're done, you know, he's going to be able to just nail this anytime afterwards. That's this particular goal. But I would like to say, though, if you guys like good murder mysteries written by a normally great horror writer like myself, I think you would really like this book. It's a great concept. He came to me with a concept. He told me with the idea, and I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, dude, this is brilliant. It's got copycat killers. It's got everything. It's got really good relationships and, like, subplot, and which, you know, I kind of had and saw a couple of those as well, but that's okay. That's what I was there for. But when you guys see it come out, just keep an eye on my page. Once everything's said and done, we get a cover, we get a publisher and everything, I'll start posting it and advertising it like crazy.
You need to get Debbie to do the cover. Debbie can do a killer cover.
Oh, I know. I love the work she's done. I'm really, really hoping that we go in that direction. Yeah, once it's done, guys, I'm telling you, you should seriously, seriously check this book out. Usually I finish a book, and it's like, okay, this was good, but I'm going to do a better one next time. I'm actually, honestly, proud of this book. And I don't say that very often. I think the only other book I've been really proud of was Empty Graves. That was my biggest seller. But this one is like, I don't know, it's like my heart's in this one, something fierce. So hopefully you guys have a good chance to check it out.
Well,
do a little shameless promotion.
tell him that to send it to Kelly. Let's get this book published, get the cover. We'll even help him promote it. We'll bring you and him on the show. We'll do an hour and a half with both of y'all.
It'd be fantastic. Yeah, so I'm going to keep talking to him about it. I'm working with him next Wednesday. I'm going to be meeting up with him and going over some stuff. So, you know, I'm going to keep moving it forward and, you know, seeing what we can do, seeing about, you know, getting the publisher, getting that cover, because, you know, that cover sells the book.
Exactly.
Man,
does.
I'm telling you. Yeah, when I got the second cover for Empty Graves, I was like, oh, man, if I didn't already write this book, I'd buy it. I was like, the cover's better than the book. Holy crap.
The thing, I can go into a bookstore, and if a cover does not jump out at me, I won't even pick up the book.
Oh, that's all I am, too. Yeah.
Because
it's got to stand out.
Yeah, and the synopsis has got to stand out. This is something else people don't understand. The first thing I look at is the synopsis of the book. And if the synopsis is dry and boring, this isn't going to be any good. And I'll put even if the cover's killer. So the synopsis has got to pop just like the book.
Yep.
It's got to make you want to read that first chapter. Yeah, it has to. And this is something else that new authors do not understand is you can't just say, well, this is the story of boy meets girl, boy kisses girl, boy fights with girl, boy loses girl. Does boy get girl back? Well, duh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gotta, you gotta make it. Yeah, that's like a laundry list. That's not really a good synopsis at all.
Really? I want to say, well, bless their hearts. Too bad they didn't get back together.
I'm going to start saying that at work, and people are going to be wondering, like, where do you get that from?
Yeah, when somebody's being really mean and nasty to you and trying to get on your case, just look at them and go, well, bless your heart. Are you having a bad day?
Yeah.
Shuts them up real quick. I mean, they go, what? And they don't know if they've just been insulted or if they've just been empathized with.
Be a touchable.
Right, for them to determine.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful because, see, true Southern women aren't supposed to have what my grandmother called a potty mouth. Because I was a young lady, and young ladies were supposed to have decorum and be above the common people. So we were taught very early from generations back that if someone insults you or someone's being dumb or someone is just being, especially women, Or if someone's wearing something that you wouldn't be caught dead in, you'd say, I wouldn't be caught dead in that, bless her heart.
I love it.
Works every time. Well, you know, the poor thing didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, bless his heart.
Oh, that's so cool. That's gonna be my new catchphrase.
And it works because you totally insulted them, but they don't know it. Well, in the South they do, but when you get in front of somebody's not from the South and you say it, they go, "Why, thank you," and you're smiling because you're saying, "Yeah, I just told you to drop dead and you didn't even realize it."
Oh, I love it. Oh man.
Yes, you have my permission to be a Southerner, Tom.
All right. Thank you. It's an honor.
But you have to drag it out. You have to say, well, bless your heart. And just let it drip like honey from your mouth, but it's just so filled with sarcasm that the Yankees are going, huh? You're empathetic. How kind of you. Or they'll call you a son of a bitch and move on, but they'll never know they've been insulted.
Oh, man.
It works every time. Every time.
Can't wait to use it.
And you know, something else that works really well is when you get a smart-ass kid. I mean, one of those that think that they are walking the walk and they're talking the talk. And especially especially in the South, if you look at them and you say, you know, your mama would be so proud of you, bless your heart, stop them dead in their tracks.
Oh, man, I should be writing this down.
You should. See, ladies and gentlemen, see what you learn on my show, because, number one, I'm 66 years old, and I've learned a lot of tricks of the trade. I don't have to use martial arts if I don't need to. Because if you – and who was it that said, speak softly and carry a big stick? Was it Eisenhower?
I think
so.
Or
Roosevelt?
Yeah. I think – ooh.
It was
Eisenhower, but you know, it was one of them, yeah.
Well – I learned a long time ago that if I speak very softly, people lean in to listen, and by the time I've said what I've had got to say, they're either dumbfounded because this 4'11 little old woman dares to get in their face, or they don't know what to say, so they just throw up their hands and leave. I resort to martial arts when I don't have anything else available. That I've used all the arrows in my quiver. So, see, you too can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can look at it and say, your mama must be so proud of you, son. Bless your heart.
Oh, I love it. Oh, man.
So you can put that one in your
characters.
Book. Yeah. Now
the next character is going to be Southern.
Oh, good Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Now you'll have to come and say, Vaughn, how would you say this in Southern? Because you can't do it half Southern and half Northern. It has to be all Southern if your character's going to be. And they have to have the dialogue and the dichotomy and the culture of a true Southern.
Yeah.
Because the Southerner's not going to say, "Yous guys." That they're not going to say that. It's always y'all, and it's always
y'all.
How's your mama and them? How's your mama and them?
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of emails from me.
Sounds good to me. I can't wait. That'll be
something. Oh man.
Now, you have been given your next assignment. If you choose to accept it, this tape will self-destruct in 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So what do you have besides your ghostwriting book and your comic strip? What else have you got going on?
Working on my next short horror fiction collection. I'm just getting started with that. I got Hauntings, which Kelly has. I'm still thinking, debating, trying to make up some decisions and stuff before I complete that obligation. And
What is there to think about? You're overthinking it, son. It's not that hard to think about.
You know me.
Stop over. Am I going to have to reach through the telephone like I have to reach through the computer and gib slap you to say, turn it loose and let it go? How long has it been since you put something out there?
You've done that to me a few times. I need it every time. Yeah.
It's been a minute. It's time to get your stuff back out there.
Yeah,
let it
yeah,
go.
It has. It's been too long.
Kelly's got it. Let her have it and let her do it.
Yeah, sure. And the last book I put out there, I think, was The Roadhouse. That was, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm past due. I am so past due right now.
Your fans have gone through withdrawal. Many of them have gone on to another life. Those that knew you have probably forgotten you, so.
Oh, you know, speaking of, I did just remember I'm going to be in Gentlemen of Horror again this year. I was in last year, and I was in 14. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of like a best of type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was given the opportunity to have one, and she told me that I'd be the first one they've had that did one like 2 years in a row. Usually it's at least another year before they do another one. I was like, oh, God, thank you. I would love to be part of this. So I do have that coming out, too. I'm still working on the story for that. I think my last one was an apocalyptic Bigfoot story, which was really weird. But, you know, they worked, and they accepted it. So they accepted my weirdness.
Well, we are all weird in our own eclectic way. So, ladies and gentlemen, T is in my anthology, Satan's Holiday, which we put out, what, 3 years ago?
Three years.
Let's see.
Like 2012
four
or 13
year, 4
or
years
like
ago,
that.
My child. Satan's Holiday's been out 4 years. Yes. So it's time. It's time. I'm telling you, people are having withdrawals. Do you want them to gnaw their arm off because you don't have a book out there? Oh, in 2014, did you put one in Merry Scary Christmas?
Yeah, I did. Yep, I did do that.
Okay, that was 3 years ago.
I did some Kindle short stories, and I did a nonfiction.
But that's not your book, though.
No, I know. It's not the same. But I did do a nonfiction a martial art book last year. Again, I went straight to Kindle. But, yeah, nothing print-wise. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. And
yeah,
people they've told me. They are going through withdrawal. The apocalypse is going to come through, and they're going to tell them they can't go because they're waiting on you to do a story, to do a book, and they're going to
get the writing.
Yeah, they're going to die in their chairs waiting on T.G. Reaper because he's slow on the draw. He's got something at the publishers, and he won't turn it loose for God knows why, bless his heart. Maybe he's waiting on the apocalypse. I don't know.
Oh, that was good. I love how you slipped that in there.
Slid it right in there.
Oh.
So now
that
just
was,
turn
that
it
was
loose.
That was as pretty as Frank Bridger.
Did that knife turn just a little bit more?
Because you know he's pretty.
Oh, yes, he is pretty. Wonder if he's listening tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're
I
talking about our
is.
Friend. I do, too. We're talking about our friend Frank Bidinger, who is also an author who's been on my show a couple of times. And his byword is, he is so pretty, and he is pretty. I'm telling you, the man is one beautiful human being. And he's not afraid
he's
to tell
guy.
You he's pretty either.
Yeah,
Lord have mercy.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. And the publisher we keep talking about is my publisher. It's Dressing Your Book, and Kelly Koch is the co-owner of that. And that's why I keep saying send it to Kelly, because I don't know what you're waiting on, but it's not going to happen. So just send her a note tomorrow and say, Kelly, run with this. Give her something to do. Keep her off the streets. And we've got to keep her off the corners, really.
Oh, man. I'm learning about my publisher.
She would laugh.
Oh, yeah.
She would absolutely laugh. Because you've got all this stuff out there, but we don't have a book, Tom.
Yeah, We need to make that happen.
Well, what are you waiting on? Go forth and publish, or do you need a blessing, you know, with the cross, sign of the cross and all that?
Well, you know, that never hurts.
Do I need to send an exorcist to exorcise the demons from within? I mean, I can do that. I'll just send the monkeys up there.
All right, now. I'll be two of the monkey. That little guy's a tough.
Don't be wanting me to send the monkeys. The monkeys aren't pretty, unlike Frank.
Yeah. He's so pretty.
Oh, Lordy mercy. Okay, so it is
yeah.
now determined that you are going to send that to Kelly. Now, have you got any new artwork hanging up in the galleries?
Not yet. I'm waiting. There's going to be an event coming up in July that I'm going to be sending some stuff for to see if they'll be accepted into it. It'll be my third showing at that gallery. Last 2 years doing their summer thing that they've had my work. I do have a piece that went to New York. It's just one piece, but still taking it to New York, you know. That's huge.
Wow.
For me, yeah.
That is huge. Where did it go in New York?
Oh, man. Oh, what's that gallery called?
It's a huge event, and you forgot the gallery.
Yeah. Again, too many goals I'm thinking of. I'm already working on my next thing.
Help.
I didn't tell you this either. I am taking some art classes. I'm going to improve a little bit more. And the guy I'm taking it from used to draw for Marvel. And he's worked for Cartoon Network, and he did like the artwork on What's New Scooby Doo and the Teen Titans, and I've already
nice.
Seen a huge improvement in my artwork. It's just a few classes I've had with him, and he's like unlocked a lot of doors in my head as far as art goes, and I'm already seeing a really good positive difference in it. I had to share that too.
Well, as you should. That is marvelous. Because
oh man,
the more you hone your art skill, the more you're going to hone your plot skill for your books. Because like we talked about earlier, this, ladies and gentlemen, art, whether it's in music, whether it's drawing, painting, writing, it all goes, sculpting, it all goes hand in hand, because when you unlock one of those doors, another door unlocks in a different phase of the art world. It's amazing what happens. Just like a little bit of shameless promotion, I had no, design work was not on my radar anywhere because I'm already so overloaded, I don't even remember what day it is, much less what time it is. And Vita dropped in my lap and said, "We want you." And I'm going, "Why?" And they did it. And I turned them down the first time. And they came back the second time. And I said, "Well, I best not turn them down a second time because I may not walk this path again." And it was like you, it just exploded.
Yeah, the same thing that happened with me.
Are you still putting your designs up on Vita?
Yeah. In fact, man, what was it? They just sent me a thing recently. Something about designing their throw pillows or something, some kind of pillow design. I haven't, like, looked into it that deeply yet because my other classes and stuff, but that's something I was going to look into. I've been doing the tote bags, the shirts, the scarves, especially the scarves. But a lot of people have been buying the scarves, which I'm really appreciative of. I'm still working on it. I'm coming up with some new designs. In fact, I got one I was thinking about sending to them. It's kind of an abstract type design, but the more I look at it, I could see that as a throw pillow. Just by looking at it. Yeah, this looks good.
See? Well, stop thinking and just do it. It's like your book that Kelly's got. Stop thinking about it. Just do it.
Do it. Yeah.
As Nike says, just do it. And my brother, my brother Stan, you remember we talk about him a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, he's challenged, but he's smarter than everybody in the entire room. And he would say, as we were standing in the Halloween store one day, and I found these beautiful pirate boots, and they had 3-inch heels, and I looked at him and looked at him, and I said, "Well, what do you think, Stan?" He said, "Well, try them on." He calls me Yvonne. "Try them on, Yvonne." So I did. And then I said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "Just get them. Don't think about it." Okay.
Yeah.
So,
good advice.
Yeah, so just do it. Don't think about the book. Don't think about the design. Just do it.
Just do it. Get it out there. Yeah, I should.
And then you can conveniently forget about it and move on to the next goal.
Yeah, I got a few hundred of them still in front of me.
All right, can you believe our hour's almost up?
Oh, man, that's too quick.
I'm telling you, you got to come back.
Yeah, definitely.
You got to be, and I'm going to bring you back in August. That's the first opening I've got. How about if I bring you back in August?
Absolutely.
Okay. By then the book will be in Kelly's hands and she'll be running with it and we can talk about it, right?
Sounds good to me, yeah.
All right, I'm hoping.
Because last time we talked, I was still just kind of in the process of negotiating with them. And
yeah.
We've already had one big step. Or now he's got to take that next step.
Yeah. So we're not going to overthink it because I'll send the monkeys up there. Forget the exorcists. I'll just send the monkeys.
Oh, man. There you go, the monkeys.
All right, real quick. You know we do this at the end of every show. If someone comes to you like the young man did and says, "I have this dream," what would you tell them?
I'd say go for it, and if I can help you in any way possible, let me know so I can do it.
Would it be
Absolutely.
A fair statement to say not to limit yourself to one dream? Because you and I both, I've got the radio show, you've got the martial arts, I've got Vita, you've got Vita. What else have we got? We got our books. photography, you've got art.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have got spouses that have their own share of problems. You still have to work an outside job. I have a full-time job here at the house, but we still live our dreams. Would that be fair?
Oh, yeah. If I only had one dream to live, I'd be bored. You gotta keep moving forward. You gotta keep stretching it. And gotta expand.
Yeah, because
absolutely.
If you don't, you stagnate. It's like only learning one set of martial arts. I mean, one set leads to another set to another set.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you gotta expand. You gotta give yourself room to grow.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Tom and I can have these conversations because we've been friends for many, many years, and he's mm-hmm. written me notes and said, I'm going to do this and that. I'm going to say, not if you want to continue living as you currently now. No, it you're not. You will. And he'd say, yes, ma'am, and not give up, because we don't give up.
No, we don't.
We might get down, and then because we have this core group. I have this core group of author friends that I've had for many, many years, and Tom is one of them. We got burned by a publisher, and we have coalesced around each other. And Tom, I don't know what I'd do without you, my friend, because you and Deborah and Ann B. Keller and Fran Ornstein and Deborah Simpson, y'all have been the rock that has kept me grounded.
Yeah, you guys have done the same for me many, many
so
times.
If we don't have that, ladies and gentlemen, we can fulfill our dream, but it's not half as much fun because we play off of each other all the time. Now, what Tom's going to do is he's going to go back and he's going to hit Kelly up and he's going to say, go ahead and finish the book. Get it out there. Because he knows if he doesn't, then he will get a visit by things that he doesn't want to see. And they will be saying, bless your heart, as they beat him about the head and shoulders. But that being said, without these people, because as artists we sometimes do have low self-esteem because that's the nature of our beast, but we don't feed each other's low self-esteem. When one gets down, I'll jump on that one and say, get up, you're not staying down there. Is that a fair statement?
Very fair, yeah. That's how you move forward. Stone falls, you pick them up and you keep them going.
Exactly. So what Tom and I are saying tonight, minus all of the fun and the laughter which we have, is this: if you have a dream, if your child has a dream, if your spouse has a dream, your significant other, your best friend, help them and help yourself live that dream. Because number one, we only go around once. And number two, you don't want to be that person. I'm talking about that person on the deathbed and somebody says, oh, do you have any regrets? Well, yeah, I have this and that. Don't be that person. I don't care what it is. Garbage collector, skydiver, I don't care. And if the dream changes, that's okay too. And if you have more than one dream, that's okay too. Make it happen. Don't depend on one to make your dream happen. You make it happen, and don't allow someone else to steal it without your permission. Tomorrow night, fellow author Gary Start is going to be on here. We're going to talk about his latest accomplishments. Tom, thank you, my sweet, sweet friend, for being my guest tonight. It's always
thanks
so much
for having
fun. The hour flies by, and I'm going to bring you back in August, and we will discuss the newly published book.
Yes, ma'am.
see how Yvonne doesn't take no for an answer? Yes, ma'am is perfect because if he doesn't say yes, ma'am, I'll just say bless your heart, and he'll know he's in trouble.
Yep.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you too can have this much fun living your dream, I'm telling you. Join me tomorrow night at 8 o'clock about his books. Join me on Tuesday night with the band Cypher out of Canada. I'll be off on Wednesday night. Thursday night is Sarah McAdams at 8 o'clock and my friend and cousin author Dana Davis at 9 o'clock. And beyond that, I'm at a loss because I didn't bring my stuff back with me. So until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, we say good night and bless your heart.
Yeah, Butch Hart, everyone.
You like that, huh?
I do. Love it.
So now you got to build a Southern character. Have to have two or three of them because they don't work well singularly. But as soon as we get off from here and this thing uploads, I'm going to put it on my page and tag you in it. And I want you to put it everywhere so everybody can listen to it. And then tomorrow I'll upload all the podcasts and send you the six podcasts. And use
Sounds
it because you got to get your work out there. My friend has been way too long.
He has. The one problem, it's not really a problem. It's kind of a problem just because of my current situation. Kelly was saying that she wanted 400 to get stuff done and get it out there. I just don't have that right now. My sister's going in for surgery, and I just don't have.
Ooh. How is she
doing?
Cancer. Oh, honey.
Yeah. They're going to be removing her tongue, and they're going to be putting in the feeding tube, and she's going to not be able to talk, and yeah.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, I will add her to my prayer list. And, of
Thank
course,
you.
The people
yeah.
in archives can hear this when they listen to the archives, so I know they will add her to your prayer to their prayer list, too.
But, yeah, that's like the main reason I can't do it right now. Though I didn't want to say it, like, you know, I'm having a really fun interview. I don't want to spoil the mood, you know.
Oh, well, you could have said it. Because I would have immediately switched gears and said publicly how important you are to me, and you know that.
Oh, yeah, I do. Thank you.
And I just, my heart is breaking for you right now, and you know I'm here. You know I'm here for you. And it's going to get a lot rougher for the whole family, so just don't be afraid to reach out. Don't become an island.
Okay. Definitely won't.
Because that's the worst thing you can do.
And yeah, you just got to pick up a plan. My blessed heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the gentlest, most complimentary sense. Not as an insult, because I've been where you are. You know I've been where you are.
Yeah.
And reach out. Just God has a plan. Have that faith that God knows things more than we do. When is she having her surgery?
Next Thursday. I'm working Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday night I'm going, because I'm going to be staying in a hotel. It's out of town. I'm going to be staying in a hotel with them until, like, after everything's done.
Well, let me know.
On Thursday.
Let me know on Thursday how you're doing, how things are going.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you a text or something. I'll let you know what's up.
Let me know what's going on, and I will keep her in my prayers all day long. Well, I'll start tonight. She's going on my prayer list.
Oh, thank you.
And you're on my prayer list all the time.
I need it.
Well, we all need it. We all need it.
Yeah.
So, on that note, my sweet, kind friend, we'll figure out a way to get your book out there. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Because you've got to get this out.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Yes, it has.
It really has.
So we'll figure out a way. No worries.
Okay.
In that, on that, on that end.
Thank
you. So I'm going to say, in closing, you are very well loved and appreciated.
Thanks.
And
I
appreciate you spending an hour with me, and give your wife a hug from me for turning you loose for an hour to have fun with me on the show.
Okay.
And she's also been in my prayers many, many times. She still is, because I know she's got some issues too. There is a bigger plan, my friend. There is a bigger plan. We're not in control. We can only control that which we can control. Some things are out of our control, and we have to let the man upstairs control it.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, but it's something we got to do, though.
And if we say we give it to him, we really got to give it to him, because if we don't give it to him, then we're calling him a liar. And
right.
I don't think he lied. So.
No. I wouldn't want to do make him mad.
No. So give it up to him and understand he's in control, and he knows the future. We don't. And everything will work out like it's supposed to. And when you go and see your sister, please give her a hug from somebody she doesn't even know and let her know that she is continually in my prayers.
I would do that.
And on that note, bless your heart. I'm going to leave you laughing and say good night, my sweet friend.
Good night.
And when I get back to my calendar, I'll see what I've got open in August and send it over to you and see if that's good for you.
Sounds great. Okay.
All right, darling.
All right.
Is a Friday or Saturday night better than during the week?
Actually, Wednesdays are the best because I have that day off, like, automatically.
Okay.
And sometimes, like where I work at, if they're too short, I stay over. And if I
okay.
stay over on a day that, you know, I wouldn't be able to do the interview. And I'd hate to leave you hanging last minute like that.
I would understand, but I've got some Wednesdays open in August, so I'll put you down for one.
That sounds great. Okay.
All right, darling. Talk at you later.
Okay. All right, talk
Good
to
night,
you later.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.